TV podcast number 2 from the Vidiots at TV.org. In this podcast, we'll have a roundtable discussion with 6 angry Vidiots. But before we get to that, a commentary from our own Steve Lutz.
Hi, this is Steve Lutz for the TV podcast. So a few weeks back, this guy, Mike Shaw, president of advertising sales at ABC, was mouthing off about how the fast-forward button should be disabled on DVRs during commercials. Apparently, ad revenues have been dropping in recent years, and Shaw believes this is because we've been shirking our solemn duty as responsible television viewers to watch advertisements. He's quoted as saying, "People can understand, in order to have convenience and on-demand, that you can't skip commercials." Well, I'm not exactly sure what Shaw thinks people did during commercial breaks in the dark days before TiVo, but I can assure you they were not staring open-mouthed in rapt attention to the ad content. More likely they were off taking a leak, or raiding the fridge, or maybe just staring off into space and thinking about cheese. The point is, in a list of things people like to do during commercial breaks, actually watching commercials is way down there, somewhere below building a scale model of colonial Jamestown out of Vienna sausages. So it's not like the DVR has suddenly caused this huge drop-off in the number of ads per year that the average viewer is subjected to. It seems to me that if advertising revenues are dropping, it's because somebody has failed to effectively convey that information to the advertisers. And I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but the person on the hook to do that is not me, Mr. President of Advertising Sales. Shaw adds, "I'm not so sure that the whole issue really is one of commercial avoidance. It really is a matter of convenience, so you don't miss your favorite show. And quite frankly, we're just training a new generation of viewers to skip commercials because they can." Well, actually, no, Mr. Shaw. I skip commercials because I have absolutely zero interest in their content. I'm already aware that there's a soft drink out there called Pepsi. The odds of me selecting that drink the next time I'm at the supermarket are not appreciably increased by its association with the words P and Diddy. I don't know what the hell Zyrtec does, but if it might be of use to me, I'm willing to wait for my doctor to suggest it himself based on some sort of educated diagnosis, rather than demand a prescription because I once saw a guy in a commercial scream it from a mountaintop. And no matter how many times you extol the virtues of feeling fresh with the gentle aroma of an autumn breeze, and I don't deny that sounds pretty wonderful, I am never, ever going to buy a disposable douche. But let's just suppose for the sake of argument that I'm actually in the market for douche. Then, and only then, I might pay some mind to douche ads. And the fact is that having those ads on my DVR actually increases the odds that I'll see them and be compelled to run out and buy some douche. Because when you're fast-forwarding through commercials, you have to pay close attention so you don't miss the show starting back up, especially when you're already partially distracted by uncomfortable not-so-freshness. And if you think I'm using this example just so I can say douche repeatedly on a podcast, well, sir, you're absolutely right, but that doesn't diminish my point, which is that DVRs actually increase the chances of a commercial influencing a viewer. But again, this information is somehow not making its way back to the guys that pay the bills. And again, not my job. Shaw also says this, "I'm not sure that the driving reason to get a DVR in the first place is just to skip commercials. I don't fundamentally believe that." And here we get to the real reason why Shaw is so cranky about DVR fast forward. Because commercial skipping is absolutely one of the driving reasons why people buy DVRs. And the networks are hoping to God their advertisers don't catch on to that fact. Because if they do, they might also catch on to the fact that 90% of television advertising is a colossal waste of money. Viewers' eagerness to skip commercials provides concrete evidence of that, in much the same way that web surfers' unwillingness to click on banner ads highlighted the pointlessness of internet advertising. And we all know how well that worked out for our dot-com pals. Of course, the case could be made that DVRs actually increase the chances of getting a commercial to its intended target, that DVRs enable that commercial to be viewed multiple times for the price of a single ad buy, and that with just a little creativity, DVR technology could direct viewers from their televised ad directly to related web content, where advertisers have complete control over what their audience sees. But it's probably a whole lot easier to just demand the fast-forward button be disabled and be done with it. After all, as we've seen with the music industry, motion pictures, and now television, moving forward fast is something that old-school content providers pretty much suck at. Shaw is right about one thing, though. Disabling the fast-forward button will bring his advertisers some definite results. Because the day ABC cripples my expensive entertainment equipment on behalf of Massengill is the day you'll find me at the check stand with a case of Summer's Eve. Just to spite the bastards. This has been Steve Lutz for the TV Podcast.
We're back on the TV Podcast. This is Jason Snell, and I'm joined today through the miracle of modern technology, namely Skype, with several of the vidiots. Ben Boychuk is here. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
You're coming to us via the exciting technology known as the telephone.
Yes, I am, and I want to thank you for having me because it's been, what, about 6 years since I've contributed anything to the site?
Yes, but, we thought we'd get you on the phone.
Thank you for remembering me.
You're very welcome.
Who?
Greg Noss also joins us. How's it going, Greg?
Do you remember you and I did a radio interview, approaching a couple of decades ago now?
I don't remember that at all.
I remember we did this thing on, the future of content distribution via the Internet. And I just kind of sat awkwardly and sweated through that as well. So.
Oh, excellent. Well, welcome. Let's do it again. Also joining us today, banging on his computer like a monkey, is Steve Lutz, I think. Steve? That's right. That's Steve Lutz's way of saying hello. If he were here in person, he would throw feces at us, yes.
So it's good that he's on Skype.
Making cracks is Philip Michaels there. Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Making or smoking?
It could be both. I am in Baltimore.
And also joining us is Laurel Cron from TVPix.net as well. Laurel, hi. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, we've got
I'm doing okay, I guess.
We've got so many people on the line. It's shocking. So, top order of business today, we were actually recording this podcast during the Emmy Awards presentation, which I think is kind of ironic that we're here instead of watching the Emmys.
Wait a minute, what's that?
The Emmy Awards.
Today's the Emmy?
Yeah.
No, that's next week.
No, it's today. It's in August this year because they didn't want to screw up the fall premieres.
No, I've got tickets. I'm going. We're going next week. My wife and I, we're going.
I find it
next
hard to believe that they would invite you to the Emmys, but it is tonight.
Well, I know people who know people, but in any event, it's not today. It's next week. If it were today, I wouldn't be on the phone.
So we've got some people in the Midwest and East. Can you confirm or deny that the Emmys are on?
Conan's doing a bit right now.
Conan is doing his bit.
Mama, honey, today's it. Today?
Your wife didn't slip
Mama?
Out unannounced about a half
Boy,
hour ago, did
Ben
she?
Ben really knows how to stretch out a bit, doesn't he?
Mama, the Emmys are today. Oh, dear God. What time? I was supposed to be there half an hour ago. I got to go. Talk to you later, guys.
Goodbye,
bye,
Ben.
Ben,
thanks for dropping
Ben
by.
Ben Boychuk, everybody.
That little insight into Ben's familiar wife that he calls his wife Mama is just really
That's a little crazy. Frightening.
I'm sure
that is his best contribution in about 6 years to TV.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Picked it up from Bob.
Just as with the TV website, Ben is really strong at the very beginning, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
And now he's gone.
Evidently, Mama says the same thing.
Yeah. So let's
not letting that pass.
Oh, man.
Oh, my.
Oh, it's a podcast. Let's start with the Emmys then. I actually got an email from somebody from the LA Times this week asking me, why do you guys not care about the Emmys? And I said, well, it's because they're completely fraudulent. I mean, do we care at all about the Emmys other than as a whipping boy?
No. No,
absolutely not.
This is the first time since 1993 that I think I've watched the Emmys. And the only reason I'm watching it is because the selection of porn at the hotel I'm staying at is very poor.
Oh, the classic thing I always point to with the Emmys is Homicide was never once even nominated for Best Drama. And how can you take a show seriously where that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and there are a few other shows out there. And you just look at this year, where not only was Lost not nominated, which is arguable, but, somebody like Hugh Laurie, who really, like or dislike the show, House, he carries the show, and yet...
He's the whole damn show.
He's, I guess maybe he's a presenter tonight, but that's it.
I was excited about the outstanding hairstyling for a series category this year. He's, Aldo Signoretti for Rome. Nobody does topsy-tail work like that guy. And his Flovey work on the guy who plays Caesar is above reproach. So, and he ended up winning, but that was last week, so, I'm pretty much shot.
According to my list of Emmy nominees that I pulled up from the interweb about 5 seconds ago, the nominee in Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Special is the 20th Olympic Winter Games opening ceremony. and that's the only nominee. Except I have something else. I have something else in the pool, so I think I'm ruined.
Yeah, that's bad for you. Bad bet.
Yeah, I took field.
The dregs of humanity got that one.
That, is that a comment on society or a it's your move reference, Steve?
I was waiting for that to show up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this early, that can't be a good sign.
I think the other reason
Jason Bateman's older work.
The other reason I think people don't take the Emmys seriously is that they change the voting procedure every like couple of years because they keep nominating the same stupid people, and then we're changing it, and then they nominate a new group of stupid people who don't deserve to be nominated.
Yeah, well, this, and they were trying to change it this year, and it didn't work, did it?
No, I mean, didn't work at all.
They specifically were going to try to get Gilmore Girls nominated for something this year, and it just didn't happen.
And instead, Charlie Sheen got nominated, and how did that happen instead of Lauren Graham? They're not even the same gender.
It's crazy, man. I tell you. Moving on to another topic of discussion for this ridiculous podcast of ours. We are on the precipice of the fall season, although we've actually had a couple of premieres. And I kind of wanted to go around the virtual room here and ask everybody sort of what they're looking forward to, if they're looking forward to anything from the fall season. Laurel, you've seen a lot of the pilots already. What are you looking forward to this fall?
I've actually seen all of the pilots except a couple of half-hour sitcoms that I didn't have the heart to watch. After I saw 20 Good Years and I wanted to, like, gouge my eyes out, I had to stop.
Did you see Till Death?
I have not seen that one.
I have.
That's one I didn't
get. Let me tell you that Till Death, you'll be hoping that Till Death is soon if you watch Till Death.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of with that
one. I hate
one.
The billboards.
I haven't even seen the billboards.
That's I've driven by the billboards 3 times and I already hate the show.
Yeah, I actually had the benefit of seeing all the pilots before like the commercials and the hype machine started up. So I went into them fresh. I mean, actually I started watching Jericho having no idea what it was about and was like, la la la. And then suddenly there was the mushroom cloud and I was like, oh my God, I didn't expect that on a CBS show.
Yeah, whereas now all you know about the show, if you're a regular viewer, is that it's like Skeet Ulrich and a mushroom cloud. That's his co-star is a mushroom
cloud. That's actually the combination I'd
choose. One of the Simon brothers, or Major Dad, which take your pick. I'm looking forward to, Heroes. And, it's intriguing. Of course, they didn't get to Greg Grunberg in the cut of the pilot I saw. It was just an hour long, and I guess if you see the first 2 hours of the show, he shows up. So
that
it's all
is
about
a crime.
Grunberg. I know, it's all
I
about
Grunberg.
I read
a story, though, that Greg Grunberg has died in every pilot he's been in, because like he was in the Lost pilot, whereas if he's not in the pilot, then his characters live. So maybe that's not so bad for him.
Maybe that was why it got cut. And Studio 60 is kind of fun. And so, you know, I love Sports Night, and so that, you know, transfers to this. I'm a little curious. Good cast. Interesting pilot. Hard to
same
know where
show.
It'll go
yeah.
from there.
Yeah.
Show.
So the
pretty
real
much.
Question is, will it fall apart in the second season or the third season or midway through the first season?
Yeah.
I could talk to Sorkin's dealer and find out.
I think this is the new efficient Sorkin. I expect it to fall apart after the first 6 episodes.
It could be, but I'll tell you, the pilot really moves well. I liked it a lot, so I'll watch until it falls apart. Sure.
The 9 is also interesting, but I'm not sure if it'll grab people
or
not.
That's one of those collection of people who are thrown together against circumstance, just like 6 Degrees, right?
Yeah, they're thrown together. They're all held hostage in a bank. And then it's something weird like, I forget, the standoff in the bank lasts a certain amount of hours, and each episode of the show will just show like 5 minutes of that, and the rest is the 9 in present day and dealing with the repercussions of it and flashing back to their past.
So this is post-traumatic stress disorder, the series.
Pretty much.
That sounds awesome.
Lost without a plane crash, but with a bank robbery, so. I guess Lost had a bank robbery, too, so it's just Lost without a plane crash.
That's
true. Well, in the 5th hour of the bank robbery.
Episode 15, my friend.
With a plane.
Based on the sound of it, I won't know about it if it happens in episode 15. Or 5.
Yeah.
Or 3.
Steve, are you looking forward to anything this fall other than making fun of bad shows? Or do you just not care?
No, actually, I'm not super jazzed about anything this season, really, even though, you know, there's some interesting premises out there, but I'm finding I'm not that into the have to really pay attention to the show kind of shows. at this point in my life.
And most of them are that this year.
Yeah, and that's killing me. I can barely keep up with Lost. I think the thing is that the TiVo has pretty much ruined that kind of show for me because they seem to back up on the TiVo, and I just never seem to find the time to really sit there and take on this, like, 7 episodes I've got built up of whatever show. You know, back in the day, the show would come on, and you'd have to be there. It's 8 o'clock on Thursday, whatever. I have to be here. I have to see The Cosby Show because, you know, if I don't catch it, I'll be completely lost next week. But now that the TiVo can take care of it for me, there just really isn't any incentive.
That arc where Cliff and Rudy were held hostage in the bank was really not to be missed.
I was hoping for a bloody end to that,
no,
but no dice.
They just got sweaters at the end, you know.
So, yeah, I'm not really too stoked about anything that's coming up, but I'll probably find one or two that end up catching my fancy.
The Emmys suck already, by the way.
The Emmys suck. This just in. Greg, anything you're looking forward to other than, you know, wishing for death?
No, wishing for death is pretty much it. Describe how out of place I am in this particular website and podcast. I don't remember actually the last time I watched TV. I realize that makes me Reginald, what's his name?
Reginald, but, what's his name?
No, you know, we had the guy who wrote the site because he doesn't have a TV, so he's better than the rest of us.
No.
3, 4. This website called TV.org, that's TEEVEE.
Could you dig through the archive of the 8 or so letters we've actually gotten in the past 2 years and see what hell he's talking about?
Do you have a TiVo? You have a TiVo, right? Or is there anything that you're watching on there,
TiVo.
Or are you just doing movies and stuff now?
This is how pathetic my TV viewing life has become. Joanne and I, my wife, we had our time together on the
Phil is drinking some more
chips. We had our time together, our weekly time together on the sofa watching 24. And like Steve said, we kept up. Otherwise, things have just been piling up like cordwood. We tried to get into Psych to watch that as well.
Did Greg just agree with me about something?
Yeah. Psych doesn't have the same intensity that 24 does, so we haven't been able to keep up.
Yeah, Psych is like Monk Light, and Monk is like something else like Murder, She Wrote Light. So at some point it becomes so light that it floats away. And you're left with, you might as well watch
when
a
Jessica
pattern.
Fletcher cut that guy's head off. When Jessica Fletcher cut that guy's head off to prove that she was good with the bad guys, that was my favorite episode.
Like she shot Tom Bosley in the kneecap.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Phil, anything for the fall that you're looking forward to?
The World Series.
That's on Fox, right? I'm not looking forward to that.
No, well, I'm not looking forward to that portion of it. I'll probably just listen to the radio instead of listening to Tim McCarver and the talking baseball tell me about what's happening. And Joe Buck, I guess, is also there. But in terms of actual TV programs that I'm interested in, you know, The Wire premieres in a couple weeks, and I'm very excited about that. I really don't pay attention to the network TV shows until about Labor Day, when the Entertainment Weekly issue arrives. And from the little bit of attention that I have been paying to so far, it seems like they're all a bunch of Lost knockoffs or 24 knockoffs or more procedural dramas, because you can never, ever get tired of that.
Phil, have you seen the Kidnap pilot?
I have seen the Kidnap pilot. A very nice man performed an illegal act to get me a bootleg copy of it. And if the authorities would like me to name him, I can supply that information to them. But I did enjoy the Kidnap pilot. I'll probably be watching that show.
I suspect you will be watching that show, since somebody's going to be paying you very small amounts of money to watch it and write about it.
Oh, is that the one you're recapping?
That would be the one I'm recapping.
Oh, boy.
Whether I'd watch it if I wasn't being paid to is a question that
I think I'm
going to
watch it. I mean, the big question, I mean, I started watching Prison Break last year, too, and I got 3 hours into that, and I shot it in the head. But
yeah, I lost interest immediately after we did our little chat.
Where we detailed all of its flaws.
Yeah, that pretty much did it for me.
You read the transcript, and you're like, my God, this is a very flawed show.
Yeah. I think Kidnapped is pretty good, though, so I have some hope.
Yeah, what's not good is Vanished, which is the exact same show as Kidnapped, except for it's not as well written and it's not as well acted.
Vanished really is the same.
It pretty much sucks.
Vanished is really the same show. I mean, they're almost identical, except in execution. And Kidnapped executes really well and has a good cast. And Vanished has some people who seem like they could be better actors, but they're just in a terrible, terrible bad script, bad acting, bad direction.
Does Kidnapped have the ridiculous Da Vinci Code aspect they seem to be trying to shoehorn into Vanished?
No, Kidnapped is just it's a straight up kidnapping with
It's pretty good. Actually, the other show that I think is interesting for the fall is this Runaway show, which I watched the pilot for. Runaway with
Tom Selleck?
Kate Capshaw? Well, close.
That's High Road to Gene Simmons?
Donnie Wahlberg.
Gene Simmons isn't in it, I'm not interested.
Wow, you know, for a CBS drama, it's not great, but it's okay. And then I found it's on the CW. And, wow, for a CW show, it's pretty damn good. But it's not great. It's passable. It's sort of like Seventh Heaven. Imagine if Stephen Collins in Seventh Heaven, like, accidentally killed a guy and had to take his whole family on the run.
That would be a great episode of
Seventh Heaven. That's Runaway, right? Like, Laurel, what do you think?
It
seemed like a better CW show.
It.
When I thought it was on CBS, which I initially thought, I thought it was kind of mediocre. And then I it's a CW show. Well, then it's not so bad.
No, it isn't so bad. It's not great. I wouldn't go out of my way for it, but it's not bad.
What happened to Donnie Wahlberg's career? Why is he on network television now?
Or you're thinking of his brother, I think, Mark Wahlberg.
Did Donnie Wahlberg actually have a
Donnie's, Donnie. Boone. Sorry, yeah. Donnie.
Don't get your Wahlbergs.
No, I get them mixed up. Which is the one with the third nipple?
That's
that's Mark, right?
Yeah. It's Angela Lansbury.
How about Jordan McKnight? What's he up to these days?
Marky Mark is now making Disney movies, speaking of career death. And the Funky Bunch hasn't been heard from for a while.
No, I think they're until death.
That's right. It's the Funky Bunch.
I was thinking a reality show about the Funky
Brad
Bunch.
Garrett,
you know,
versus
where are
the
they
Funky
now?
Bunch until death. The audience wins when they're all dead.
Hey, Jeremy Piven just won an Emmy. Good for him.
Okay. Yeah.
You're ruining it for me, Phil. I now know that at 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, I can go to the bathroom. Thank you.
No, what I'm doing for you is giving you a money-making opportunity with your wife and loved ones, where I got a feeling it's Jeremy Piven's year.
Yeah.
And thank you for letting us know what you're going to be doing at 8:30. I appreciate that.
Set your watches.
Angela,
maybe we can synchronize.
Greg is gone. He's just put a Perl script together that says Angela Lansbury every 45 seconds.
Wow.
Keeping the damn theme.
That's right. Okay, let's move on to a last topic, which is the what's
Angela Lansbury?
The what's my beef segment. Your beef can be Angela Lansbury if you like. This is where I'd like to just kind of go around and let everybody have a little moment to say what's on your mind, if you'd like to take that opportunity.
Even though I have no beefs, I'm a loving man who enjoys everything and has nothing but kind words to say.
My beef is that Phil is lying.
My favorite reality show is, of course, The Amazing Race. But I got to tell you, that show is going to be on a short leash for me this year. Whereas if I'm going to give it about 3-4 episodes, and if I don't like the teams or if I don't find the storylines very compelling, it's getting right the heck off. Because the last two times, which was the one that the fake hippies won, and then the horrible, horrible Family Edition one, by about halfway through, it was just, I got to endure through this to just see how it ends. And I don't think I'm going to be doing that this time because I'm missing out on too many other wonderful programs. I don't know what they are that I'm missing out on. But I nearly missed out on The Office and My Name is Earl because I was busy watching these horribly boring families as they visited, you know, mobile home parks and the world's largest chair in Alabama and the Utah salt flats. And it was just the most interminable reality competition ever. And so here's my warning to you, Phil
Hogan.
Phil.
I think there's a G in there somewhere.
The New Zealand fella who isn't Jeff Probst. the New Zealand equivalent of Jeff Probst. My warning to you, sir, is you better entertain me this time around, because I will not be there at the finish line if it is not entertaining.
So basically the trend for Phil's beefs is he's going to be threatening shows every week.
Exactly.
Elimination from his TiVo.
I like it.
Yeah, and I know that there... Yeah, who will Phil threaten next podcast?
I'm sure they'll take note.
Manual repeating recording Monday through Friday at 8:15. You're next.
You are really gunning for three thumbs down, Blues Clues.
Greg Knoth.
I have no complaints whatsoever.
So I wanted to talk to you about something. You know, we were talking about Netflix the other day, and you basically watched every movie on Netflix now, right?
Yes, every one of them, and several series on DVD. I'm looking forward to.
So you've actually seen Buttman 17 at this point?
Yes. Angela Lansbury makes a startling appearance. I'm looking forward to the new season of The Wire, but the new season of The Wire for me is season
three. Right, because you're behind. You have to wait for the DVD to come out.
Yes, or I can download it off the magical device.
Yes. I'm actually watching the first season of Extras, which I missed, and I'm doing it because they haven't released the DVD on Netflix. I'm doing it through the magical device of the internet.
What was Greg's beef? I was freshening up my cocktail.
Greg doesn't watch TV. I think that's his beef. But he watches lots of things on DVD, on Netflix, so which I think is a perfectly valid thing. What kind of stuff have you enjoyed on DVD, Greg?
We've gone through almost all the HBO series. Deadwood, Sopranos, The Wire, and they've all been really good. We've watched all of The Shield, which was a lot to take in a row.
Yeah.
And we've watched the first two seasons. There you go. Here's my beef. At the end of the second season of Rescue Me, I've just decided never to watch another episode of the goddamn thing because they arbitrarily killed his child. That just really, really made me angry.
Yeah, my wife watched the first episode of the third season, and she said, no, it hasn't won me back. So she didn't even get to the rape episode. She already said, no, this is over. It's done.
I mean, beyond being cruel to the characters, it's cruel to the viewers. I'm all for drama and for people struggling and having triumphs and, you know, the whole Aristotelian arc, but
you can't have your...
Just arbitrarily murdering children is not something...
Well, and as it turns out, what the series theme apparently is late in the season, somebody very close to Dennis Leary will be killed in a horrible fashion. Like, great.
Yep.
Tune into that.
And this season's finale ends on a cliffhanger, so they want us to keep coming back, I guess.
If it's one of the writers who dies, would you come back?
Yeah. Well, you're going to worry that, you know, Dennis Leary's going to die. You know, I'm not too worried.
I just, I'm not going back. It wasn't fun. I watch TV for entertainment. You know, every once in a while you can slip in something profound or meaningful or deep or upsetting, but it's just relentless.
Yeah, there isn't enough funny in that show. When it's funny, it's often very funny, and I like the dark humor among the firemen and stuff like that. But there's so much angst.
Laurel, anything that you would like to get off your chest in podcast form?
Yeah. My husband approached me the other day and said, have you heard they say that this season on Lost they're going to focus on the romance on the island? And on like little interpersonal things, and I went, "Oh my God, you know, no!"
Really, and Charlie can get together. Oh, thank God.
They're stalling so much, and that perturbed me when I heard and my husband was outraged.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle the new format where they're doing like a 6-episode block in the fall that's going to be almost like a mini season, and then the rest of them are running straight through in the spring, and whether that changes people's perceptions of how slow moving the show is just by packing an episode in every week.
It is an interesting trend that they're trying to, you know, get rid of the repeats. I think Lost actually has a chance of being overshadowed by the show that's going to take over its time slot when it goes on that first break, which, I mean, Daybreak launches on November 15th, and that's the one with Taye Diggs as a police detective accused
the crime
of...
he didn't commit.
And then he lives, and then he lives the day over and over again.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day meets the Incredible Hulk.
It's Groundhog Day, but with the guy trying to survive and keep his loved ones from being killed and clear his name. And each day he takes a different tactic to try to figure out what the heck is going on.
That would take a lot of the pressure off trying to keep your loved ones from being killed if you get to start over every day.
Or put it on because you could save them one day and then next day, they're gone.
By the way, Angela Lansbury.
Should we call Ben back before we go to see if he made it to the Emmys?
I'm sure he's stuck on the
longer.
Stuck on
well,
the
now it's funny
because
we're going
right
back
now.
To it. That's going to make it funny, especially if Mama answers.
Callbacks. Always
oh,
funny.
Sweet.
Oh, there's his phone number.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's,
Conan has a mustache at the moment.
Hey,
hello?
Ben, did you make it to the Emmys?
I have no more comedy for you.
You had none to begin with. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, I had none to begin with. I've got nothing. I just wanted to indulge my vanity, and that's
right.
It. That's it.
Well, we're
I
wrapping
didn't
up
do
the
anything.
Podcast, and we brought I'm you kidding. Back in at the end. You see, it's a comedy loop.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Ben.
We need closure, Ben.
I'm just trying to make dinner. I'm just trying to clean up my house. I just wanted to do something. I just wanted to bring a little joy to the world. And what do I get? Nothing but guffaw.
Okay, why don't you sign us off, Ben? Ben, take us out. Take us out for the TV podcast.
By the way, dinner and house cleaning over the Emmys, I take it every time.
Yeah, believe me. Well, I just have one thing to say to all the kids out there.
Stay in school.
I'm dead now. Don't smoke.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
I have one other thing
go
to
ahead.
Say. I hate every last one of you.
Do you mean us or the listeners?
Everyone. Every single one of you. Thank you and good night.
That's a podcast, I think. And that wraps up our second TV podcast. Again, if you've got feedback, please send it to tv@tv.org. Before we go, here's a review of the first TV podcast from iTunes. Waste of Time by Anonymous. You'd be better off spending your half-hour channel surfing than listening to this inane chatter. Thanks for that feedback, and until next time for the TV podcast, Karahe.